Most of you, I think, have met Pastor Swanson in person. I know many of the group gathered here have been up to Alaska in some capacity. I know we had a group go up, work group go up with a bunch of us. Another work group went up after that. Kevin's taken some folks up. And so again, many of you have met him in person. But for those of you who haven't, Jeff, why don't you come forward? But we'll introduce to you Pastor Jeff Swanson, and he pastors primarily, that's your primary call, right?
Yep.
I'll let you fill people in. But pastors the congregations up in Naknek and South Naknek in Alaska, and of course, a broader ministry to the community. Yeah, however you would prefer to do it. So,
can I stand right down there?
Well, do we need to take a vote? No, you can. Wherever you want to be is just fine.
Is that okay? We're not very many of us, and I'd be a lot more comfortable down here. Is that right?
That's fine. Yeah. Whatever works for you.
I was going to say, I don't even need a microphone because we can just be informal if that's all right. Well, good evening. Good to be here and good to be with all of you. We've had a good day. We had our Lutheran Mission Society annual convention. I always get a kick out of that. We call it a convention. That sounds like thousands of people, you know, there at a convention. And we were 11 of us, I think, today. So our annual meeting. Next year will be the 100th year of the Lutheran Mission Society that began back in Minnesota a long, long time ago. And folks, the Norwegians had a heart for Norwegian fishermen up in Alaska. And it's been going for 100 years. So next year, you don't want to miss the 100th annual convention of the Lutheran Mission Society. But it is really great to be here. Jane and I flew down from Alaska about a week ago and spent some time in Kalispell with our daughter and her husband and three grandchildren, soon to be four, we found out when we got there. We hadn't seen them for a year, so it's always a great joy to come down south and get to see our grandkids and kids and siblings. We're going to be down for a little longer this time, so that's been really something we've been looking forward to. It's really good to see many familiar faces and a few here that I don't know as well. So welcome. Glad you're here. Thought what I'd do this evening is share a little bit about the work in Alaska. And for some of you, this will be review. You're familiar with it. You've been there. Some of you are here today and have heard things through the years. Some of you have been missionaries in Alaska, Henry and Linda Mohagen from down in Riva, South Dakota. So I'll just give you a quick kind of an overview of the ministry there and then share from God's Word. So Jane and I went to Alaska in 2004 for a short term, about a 3-month interim period to fill in when there wasn't a pastor. That was right after Henry and Linda had left. You guys were up there for about 5 years in Naknek, Alaska, and Jane and I went with some of our kids in 2004 there for 3 months. 3 years later, we were called full-time to go back, so we've been there since 2007. If you don't know, Naknek is about 270 miles southwest of Anchorage by air. You can't get there by road on the coast of the southwest corner of Alaska on the Bering Sea, salmon fishing capital of the world. And there have been works there, mission works, for many, many years. Henry and Linda were there. As I said, we've been there about 13 years. What the ministry consists of now is a church in Naknek, Hilltop Christian Fellowship, that we pastor. We have a church in South Naknek, which is just right across the river, that we usually fly to because we have up to 30 feet vertical tides. If you can imagine that, I mean, you go twice a day, the water's down here, and 6 hours later, it's 30 feet deeper. If you can imagine that. And twice a day, that occurs. So it's kind of hard to go by boat. We fly over there. We also fly out to another community called Ekwok, and we have services. We kind of call those preaching points where we go and share God's word. So that's a big part of our ministry, is just regular pastoral, congregational ministry in those three locations. But there are many other communities, many other villages all over that part of Alaska that are unchurched. And so we have been able to go to some of those villages with Vacation Bible School, 9 villages over the past number of years, 9 villages every summer, not so this summer because of COVID and that. But there's the church ministry. A big part of that is aviation ministry. And you guys are a part of that. Kevin is involved with FLAPS, Free Lutheran Airplane Pilot Supporters, a big part of kind of supporting the aviation ministry and overseeing the aviation ministry. Everywhere we go, we have to fly to those villages for Vacation Bible School or to go there and preach and so on. So aviation is a big part of the ministry as well. And our aviation ministry has really expanded in the last number of years. Jeremy Kroll, I think he was here just not so long ago. Did he speak here? Oh, he didn't. He just visited. Well, Jeremy Kroll is our pilot mechanic and has gotten involved now with flying kids to Bible camp about an hour and a half north of us, flying the teams out to the villages to do vacation Bible school. Flying the other about two or three weeks ago, we got the call about a moose that had been illegally taken, and it was donated to for us to distribute. So we flew down and picked up 600 pounds of moose meat and flew that to South Naknek and distributed it. And so aviation has a way of ministering in a lot of different ways. The people in South Naknek were thrilled to death to get all of that moose meat. So aviation ministry is just really vital and really important. Another aspect of the ministry there is the radio ministry. KAKN has been on the air since, I think, 1988 or 1987, 30-plus years. It's a FM station that broadcasts not only in Naknek, in South Naknek, and King Salmon, another community there, but out into other villages in Bristol Bay, like in Dillingham and Manicotic, and some of them can pick it up elsewhere. Radio ministry is just really a great blessing. There, a lot of good preaching, a lot of good music. I love to tell the story about how the radio station started. A missionary long before Henry and Linda and us was named Curtis Nestergaard. Curtis loved the program Unshackled. Any of you ever heard of Unshackled? Not too many. Unshackled is live dramas of people whose lives have been dramatically saved and unchanged, unshackled. And it comes out of Pacific Garden Mission, an inner city mission in Chicago. They always advertise it as the longest running serial radio program in the world. And Curtis Nestergaard, that was a pastor there for many years, 20-plus years in the Naknek area, and that he loved that program, Unshackled. It mainly tells the stories of people who have been really greatly hindered by alcohol and drugs and such, and then delivered from that. And that really fits because in our area there's such high rates of alcoholism and drug addiction. And so Curtis just really felt that would be an appropriate program and that it could really minister. So he went to Dillingham, which is about a half hour from where we live, and they had a public radio station. And he wanted to put Unshackled on public radio. And they said, no way. They weren't going to do that. And he said, well, if you won't let me put Unshackled on the public radio station, I'm going to start my own radio station and be in competition. And so that's what happened. So in the late 1980s, a radio station began, KAKN, which is today 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all over that part of Alaska. A great story with that is, and it's tied to the Unshackled program, when we first moved to Alaska, we had a Christmas program at Christmas time, a kids program, and a fellow walked into church on a Sunday night for the Christmas program who I'd never met before. We'd only been there about 3 months at the time, but Alvin Asplund Jr. came walking in, and he had grown up at the church, but didn't go to church anymore at all. He'd spent his adult life up on the North Slope of Alaska, and retired, moved back to Naknek, and in his own words, kind of, he just spent his days doing nothing and his evenings at the bar. That was his life. But he said one night when he was driving home from the bar, he had flipped the radio on and he heard Unshackled. And it really captured his attention. And he said, this is after he had been at our church for Christmas. So I went to visit him in his home and he told me this story. And he said, I started leaving the bar every night at 9 o'clock so that I could listen to Unshackled. Sit there and drink for a couple hours, but he had to stop at 9 o'clock, go outside and sit in his car and listen to Unshackled. And God got a hold of his heart through that. And I always thought this was funny. When I was visiting with him, he said, you're going to find this hard to believe, but he said, I'm a closet Christian. I'm a closet Christian. And I said, well, it's time to come out of the closet. In a real different way than we normally use that, right, in our culture and that. But what a difference God made in Alvin's life because of Christian radio, because of that program, Unshackled. And so we hear continually great testimonies of people listening to God's word through preachers like Ravi Zacharias and Alistair Begg and Chuck Swindoll and Greg Laurie, probably some of the same people you maybe listen to if you listen to Christian radio and a lot of good Christian music. It's been a blessing to have that radio station during COVID because for a while in March and April, like probably most of you, we didn't have in-person church services for a while. We've been back since about the 1st of May, meeting in person. But when we couldn't meet, we were putting our services, a whole service, on the radio. My sermons are always on the radio, but we put a whole service together and put it on the radio and then started having devotions every day on the radio. If you're in Naknek and you turn your radio on 8 o'clock in the morning and at 6 o'clock at night, you'll hear the news, and then right after the news, you'll hear this. Good day, Bristol Bay. This is October the 13th, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. We're so glad to share a word from God's word with you today. And then I read some scripture and give a few devotional thoughts and pray with people. And so radio has been, I've often thought of that verse from Esther, the book of Esther, where it says that, you know, maybe you were raised up for just such a time as this. And I feel like KAKN radio is raised up for just such a time as this during COVID. It's been good for 30 years, but just at this time, it's been a special blessing to be able to share God's word. And there's so many good testimonies about how people are listening and being blessed in that. So that's a little bit of the kind of the ministry in Naknek, South Naknek, Ekwok Radio Ministry, Aviation Ministry. And we've appreciated so much the volunteers that have come up. Quite a few that are here have come up and volunteered at the net. You probably know that Naknek is, some people call it the salmon capital of the world. And so there's a big salmon fishery there, and it brings in thousands of people every summer. Normally, Naknek has about 500 people, and King Salmon has about 300, and South Naknek has about 50, maybe 800-900 people in the whole borough. They call it, they don't have counties, but we have a borough. And we go from 800 or 900 to anywhere from, I don't know, 10,000, 12,000. We hear different numbers. And there are people from all over the world that come to work in the canneries. People from Eastern Europe, people from Mexico, people from the Dominican Republic, and all over, and then from all over the United States. And we started a coffee house outreach several years ago, and people that the cannery workers that are walking down the streets can come in and get a cup of coffee and a cookie, and then we have Bibles and tracts to share with people. So that's been a big part of our ministry in recent years as well. So those are some of the things that go on in Naknek. And we appreciate some of you that have come up and volunteered and been a part of those ministries and have helped build things and paint things and to keep it all going. So I appreciate your prayers for the ongoing work of the ministry there in Naknek. The social ills and the sins of the world are magnified in Bush, Alaska. Again, alcoholism, drugs, immorality, incest, hopelessness, despair, suicide, just on a higher level in Bush, Alaska, it seems. The needs are very, very great. People are much in need of the Lord, and in need of good news, in need of the gospel. So we'd really appreciate if you would pray. Pray for God to move in the hearts of people in Bristol Bay. I love that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man, any person, men, women, boys, girls, if anyone be in Christ, they become a new creation. And old things pass away, and all things become new. I love to think of alcoholism passing away, and drug use passing away, immorality passing away, and things becoming new. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, the thief being the devil. Wants to destroy lives. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give life and to give it abundantly, or in all of its abundance. When I think of that, I think, what's the abundant life? Well, that's the life when we accept Christ into our lives, when we trust Christ and we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit bears his fruit in our lives. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. When I think of some of the lives of people that we know, you know, there in Bristol Bay, and the tragic lives that are led, that have been devastated by sin and so on. It's exciting to think of God giving new life, people being born again and having the Holy Spirit and experiencing the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. That's exciting. That's the hope of the world, isn't it? We know, what's the news like every day? Not very good. A lot of bad news in the world. But God has good news. And the good news is that people can be saved, people can be transformed, people can be delivered, people can be filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to experience in their lives and in their homes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's exciting. It's what the world needs. It's what you and I need. It's what everybody needs, right? So pray for God to bring people to true repentance and faith in Christ, that they might have new life and spirit-filled, spirit-led life, transformed life, delivered lives. That's what we pray for. And I just would ask you to pray. Please pray for Bristol Bay. Pray for the ministry in our churches and through the radio station and other parts of the ministry. So that's a little bit about the work there in Alaska. I want to share from the verses that were read earlier, Romans chapter 9. We've been preaching through the book of Romans in our church, in Naknek, and when we go out to South Naknek and to Ekwok and that. So I wanted to share these verses and kind of give them a mission context here this evening. Before I do that, any questions? Any questions about the work in Alaska? It was not. Yep, this year the net didn't open and we couldn't go into villages for VBS because of the coronavirus. You were there how many years ago? Three, four years ago? You guys remember driving past the canneries? This spring, the canneries put up chain link fences around every cannery with barbed wire on top and guard houses at the entrances. Nobody in or out. It was like prison camps. We kind of laugh because the cannery workers that come from all over would often come into the net and they would be complaining about life in the cannery, you know, because it's like slavery. This is just terrible. It's like being in prison, you know. They tell us when to get up and we work 16-hour days and then we only sleep a little while and it's really, really miserable. And I thought, well, this year it really was like prison because you barbed wire fences and chain link, you couldn't come and go. And so nobody was on the streets walking. Fishermen had to quarantine 2 weeks and then had to get on their boats and go out in the sea. And they weren't allowed back on shore until fishing season was over. So it was really a different year. So there was nobody to come into the net. Plus, even if they had been, we wouldn't have opened because we would have been like, you know, like the place to catch COVID because everybody in the community would have come to the net and it was like, okay, here's where you come to get sick. And not a good ministry strategy. She wasn't going to come anyway. She had decided not to come back this year. Bobby Overgaard, who's run, kind of managed the net, she wasn't going to come this year, but then we didn't have the net anyway. And unfortunately, we weren't able to go into the village to have vacation Bible school either, so that was sad. I shared this today at the LMS meeting, the verses from 2 Timothy 2, where Paul talks about being imprisoned for the gospel, but he said the word of God is not imprisoned. And I really like that. The word of God is not imprisoned. My contemporizing of that verse is the word of God is not quarantined, right? So we took Bibles and gospel books and made boxes full of those and took them to the canneries for people to have. And then, of course, the radio ministry kind of took on a whole new meaning. So God's word still went forth this summer. The word of God is not quarantined. Still going forth and doing its work. So, thanks for the question. Any other questions or thoughts? Well, if not, let's turn to Romans chapter 9. Maybe I'll just read those again. I appreciate Kent reading those, but I'll read them again. You get a sense here of Paul's heart for people. Paul's heart for his own people, the Jewish people. His deep love and deep passion for people. And I pray that God would give us that same passion for souls. Romans 9, 1 through 5, Paul says, I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belong the adoption as sons, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the temple service, the promises, whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the heart of Paul, the heart that you gave him for souls, for the souls of his own brethren. And I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts and remind us again tonight, Lord, what really is important in this life, how important the gospel is for us and for others. And grip our hearts tonight, I pray, through the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that happened last summer in Bristol Bay there where we were because of COVID again is because all these people were coming from, like, for the canneries and for the fishermen coming to the fishing boats, there was a great concern when everybody was shutting everything down. Here's this little community of Naknek, and 10,000 people are going to come in from all over the world. It was like, this is a disaster waiting to happen, right? Everybody's staying home, everything's shutting down, and you're going to bring in 10,000 people from all these different places to come into our community. Everybody was really concerned about what was going to happen with COVID and stuff. So to prepare for that, one of the things, among others, not just putting up fences around canneries, but one of the things that was done was that Samaritan's Purse brought up a mobile hospital and put it on the old, unused Air Force base in King Salmon. And I thought I'd just share that with you, a word about Samaritan's Purse. Does anybody know, has any of you heard of Samaritan's Purse? Okay, do you know the background of it? There was a guy by the name of Bob Pierce. Bob Pierce was an evangelist for Youth for Christ back in the late 1940s and the 1950s, after World War II. And he was traveling all over Asia. And he had an encounter with a woman who had a child that didn't have any parents and was just in great, great need. And this woman came up to Bob Pierce, I can't remember, I think it was in China, and said, what are you going to do with this child? He's traveling around as an evangelist, and this woman was kind of challenging him, what are you going to do about this child? And that just cut him to the heart. What are we doing for the needs of the world and needy people like that little child? And out of that experience, Bob Pierce started a ministry called World Vision. We've all heard of that, right? Well, that went on from 1950 till the late 1960s when Bob Pierce was traveling with World Vision, and he was in Korea after the Korean War, and he found that there were just so many orphans, so many distraught children and so on, and that led him to begin another ministry called Samaritan's Purse. And there was a young man that traveled with Bob Pierce, a young rebel, a real rebel against God and against society, but he found just a kindred spirit in Bob Pierce, who had founded World Vision, founded Samaritan's Purse, and that young man that was traveling with Bob Pierce and was kind of mentored by Bob Pierce was Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son. And Franklin Graham had written a book later on about his life called Rebel with a Cause, I believe was the name of the book. Kind of interesting. He was a rebel, but in Bob Pierce, he just saw living Christianity, and he saw a compassion for souls, and that just really resonated with him. And after Bob Pierce died, Franklin Graham became the president of Samaritan's Purse, and is still today. And by the way, he spends a lot of time in Alaska. He was in our area this summer. He spends a lot of time up in Port Allsworth, which is where our daughter works, with a camp ministry up there. The interesting thing about Bob Pierce is that he prayed after he had met the orphan children in Korea. He went home one day and he wrote in the flyleaf of his Bible, it's reported in his autobiography or biography, that he prayed this prayer, God, break my heart with the things that break your heart. That was his prayer. God, break my heart with the things that break your heart. And God answered that prayer. Bob Pierce had a broken heart for the world. And out of that came Samaritan's Purse. and earlier World Vision. Richard Halverson, who was the chaplain in the Senate and was a good friend of Bob Pierce, said of him that he served from a broken heart. He served from a broken heart. And I think of that as I think of the broken lives and great needs in Alaska. Will we allow our hearts to be broken for the needs of the world? Or will we just kind of casually go on through life? And it's easy to do that, isn't it? To be so focused on ourselves and our life and our world and our worldly things and so on. But are we willing to have a broken heart for the world? God, break my heart with the things that break your heart. I think in Romans 9, we see a broken heart, don't we? Paul's broken heart. Listen again to what Paul says. I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit. This is very true for Paul, isn't it? It's interesting how he says that. I'm telling the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit. This is the absolute truth of Paul, of Paul's heart. And what is it? Verse 2 says that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. I see a brokenness, a brokenheartedness in Paul. I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. What is it that broke Paul's heart? Well, we read that in the next verse, verse 3. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ, for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites. What was it that broke the heart of Paul? That his brothers, his Jewish brethren, had rejected Jesus and had rejected the Messiah that God had so long promised. And the fact that his brethren rejected Jesus as the Messiah, and were lost, and were headed to a lost eternity, that broke the heart of Paul. He cared about souls. And not only did that break his heart, but I think kind of adding to that was the fact that they had so many opportunities, and they had missed that. Notice what he says about his brethren, the Israelites. He says, to whom belong the adoption as sons? The Israelites had a lot of advantages, didn't they? Listen to the advantages here in verses 4 and 5. The Israelites, to whom belong the adoption as sons, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the temple service, the promises, whose are the fathers? That's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They had all the fathers, all the covenants, all the promises, all the temple service, and even from whom is the Christ according to the flesh. Jesus was Jewish. These were all advantages, if you will, that the Jewish people had, and yet they had missed it. They had missed Christ. And that's what just broke the heart of Paul, that his own brethren rejected Christ and missed Christ. I think of that sometimes today, all the opportunities that people have. You know, in America, churches on every corner, many children growing up in Christian homes, and yet so many of them miss Christ. So many advantages, so many opportunities, and yet somehow not embracing it, and not rejoicing in what we have in Jesus. And it's heartbreaking, isn't it? Look at the condition of our nation. Look at the condition of so many people, so many young people, so many opportunities, so many advantages, and yet not trusting Christ. It's heartbreaking. It's sad. You can see why Paul was so broken here. He was heartbroken. How deep was his love for his brethren? That's what broke his heart, was his people's rejection. And he loved them. He loved those people, the Jewish people, his brethren. How deep was his love? Look at verse 3. I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. That's unbelievable. That Paul said, I wish that I was accursed. I'd give up my own eternal salvation if my brethren could come to Christ. He was willing to give up his own eternal life if only his brethren would believe in Jesus. Very Christ-like, isn't it? Jesus gave up his life so that we could be saved, so that we could be forgiven. How Christ-like of Paul. He says, I'd be willing to give up my life, my eternal life, if my brethren could just come to Christ. That's how deep his love was, his concern for his brethren. Well, where did that love come from? Where did that passion for souls come from? Where did that burden come from? Where did that great, great love come from? Well, it came from Jesus, didn't it? Because Paul had had a very real experience with Christ. And that's what's needed in every one of our lives if we're going to have that heart for the lost. Paul, we all know the story, right? Paul was not a converted man. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a follower of Christ. Just the opposite. He hated Christ. He hated Christians. He did all he could to persecute the church, to persecute the followers of Jesus. And God, in his sovereignty and his love, reached down and touched Paul, his conversion experience on the road to Damascus. What an experience Paul had. I love to read of his testimony. If you want to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're reminded here of what happened to Paul, how he was changed. This is his testimony in short form, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent aggressor. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as in the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Where did that love, that passion, that concern come from in Paul's heart? It came from Jesus. It came from him having a very real, life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ. He says there, you know, I thank God because he's considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy. I was shown mercy. His grace was more than abundant. The love, the patience, the grace of God in Christ, that just blew Paul away. And his life was changed. And his heart was changed. And what God had done for him, and how God had saved him and changed his life so dramatically, that just got over. Paul never got over that. And what he had experienced, he longed for others to experience. Where did this deep love, this brokenheartedness for his people come from? It came from Jesus and from his very real experience with Jesus. And that's what every one of us need. Oh, for churches that are filled with people who have been dramatically, really touched by Jesus Christ, experienced salvation in Christ. And when we become overwhelmed with what God has done for us, and we want so desperately for others to have that same experience. We're burdened for their souls. That's what we see here in Paul. Bob Pierce prayed, oh God, break my heart with the things that break your heart. Paul had that broken heart for his people, for the Jewish people. He had experienced a wonderful salvation in Christ, and he longed for that for his people, for his brethren. And we need to experience that and have that longing for others as well. And when we have that broken heart, we begin to pray. And we begin to speak of what God has done for us, because we just can't keep it in. We want others to experience that. I pray that we would have a broken heart for our loved ones that don't know Christ, for our community members that don't know Christ, that we would have a heart for Alaska. It's heartbreaking when you see, as we do continually, the hurting lives in Alaska. I could tell you story upon story tonight about people who are just miserable in their sin. And I could tell you stories about people who aren't miserable in their sin, people who are very happy in their sin, and unfortunately, they're headed for hell. And we can't go merrily along our way. Would that God would break our heart that we would have a burden for souls. And I pray that God would give us a broken heart for Alaska, but for Beulah too, right? There's people that need Christ. And all too often, I think, we just kind of go along our way and are happy with our lives and so on. But may God lead us to a place of a broken heart for people, a passion for souls, a passion for missions, a passion for souls in places like Brazil and like Bristol Bay and Riva and wherever else we live. May God give us that heart. And I just want to encourage you with these words as we close tonight. God has a ministry to the brokenhearted, to those who are devastated because of sin and who desperately need Christ. But for those of us who would have broken hearts for the lost as well. Three verses in closing. Psalm 34, verse 18. Some wonderful verses about God's ministry to the brokenhearted. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." I'd encourage you to search your hearts tonight. Think about this. Isn't it really important what we're broken-hearted about? Some people are broken-hearted because of the condition of our nation. That's a good thing. I'm broken-hearted over what I see going on in our nation. But America is not the kingdom of God, right? We care about our nation, but we ought to care about the kingdom of God even more. Some people are broken-hearted about the downturn in the economy or in the Dow Jones or whatever. It's back up now, I guess. But for a while, people were really upset. People just wringing their hands, so upset because the investments went down. We can get so upset about that, but not even think about our neighbor who doesn't know Jesus. There's a lot of things that we can be broken-hearted about and be all upset about that really don't matter. What are you broken-hearted about? We ought to be broken for lost souls. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We ought to be brokenhearted over our own sin and how we offend God because of our sin. But listen, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. God is near to the brokenhearted. He's a great comforter. He's a great savior. He's a great forgiver. God is near to the brokenhearted. God also heals the brokenhearted. Psalm 147, verse 3. Psalm 147, verse 3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Not only is God near to the brokenhearted, but he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And then Isaiah 61, verse 1. This is that great passage that Jesus quoted in the synagogue one day, and when he finished quoting Isaiah 61, then he said, "Today, in the hearing of these verses, they've been fulfilled." Jesus is saying these words are about me. Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Notice there in verse 1, "The Lord has sent me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners." To bind up the brokenhearted. God is near to the brokenhearted. God heals the brokenhearted. God binds up the brokenhearted. And one last verse, Psalm 51, verse 17. Another verse about the brokenhearted. And, of course, this comes from Psalm 51, where David pours out his heart, seeking God's forgiveness after his sin with Bathsheba. We know verses 10 through 13. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you." I want to jump down to verse 17. "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." There's a lot of brokenness in our world today, isn't there? It's a broken world. I mean, that's kind of the only answer I have when I look at our nation. We're broken. The world is broken, and it's filled with broken people. And many times our hearts are broken, sometimes for the wrong reason, sometimes for the right reason. But I just want to repeat these words again tonight. God is near to the brokenhearted. God heals the brokenhearted. God binds up the broken. And here it says that we even need to be broken. God uses the broken, and we need to be broken. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Oh, how God cares for this broken world and the broken people of this world. Oh, how he cares for us. Amen? In our brokenness, in our lostness, in our great need, God is near to us. He binds us up. He heals us. And then he sends us into a broken world to bring good news and to bring the help that Jesus alone has to offer to people. And it's true in rural Alaska, and it's true here in Beulah, and it's true everywhere. We have a wonderful Savior who draws near to us and ministers to us in our brokenness, and then uses us to reach out to a broken world as well. May it be so. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the heart of Paul. It's really a beautiful thing to get a glimpse into his change in his life, going from one who hated Christ and hated Christians and had a tremendous life-changing experience and was converted, became a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, and then cared so much for those who were lost, was broken for them. Thank you for your work, not only in saving Paul, but then giving him a heart for the lost. And I pray, Father, that we have experienced that. I pray that we've come to a place of brokenness over our own sin and our own need. And I pray that we've experienced a wonderful Savior who can heal our broken heart and can bind up our brokenness, save us, forgive us, make us new people in Christ. And then, Lord, give us a burden for those around us that are broken and that need to experience the healing, helping, saving ministry of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, help us to search our hearts tonight and help us to give you thanks, to trust you, and to praise you for what you have done for us. And then help us, Lord, to reach out to those with the good news of Jesus Christ, to people who are hurting and in need. May that be true in rural Alaska. May it be true right here in North Dakota and wherever we come from, wherever we go. Father, we thank you that you've taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This world is going to hell in a handbasket, like we say, Lord, but there is hope. There is help, and it's in Jesus Christ. And so help us, Lord, to rejoice in the light of Jesus, and help us to share that light. Have your way in our hearts tonight, I pray, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.